It's November 19th, 2022. This is Ward Green. The time is 18:39 hours. I'm late today because I had to go shopping, and this is the only good weather day we were going to get, it looked like, for a while, possibly, or, you know, the best weather day, anyway, that we would get. And I needed some things, so I got some pineapple, and that's fresh pineapple that looks, it's really good. It tastes really good. It looked really good in the store, is what I meant to say, I guess, but I've already had some of it. It's phenomenal. Delicious, ripe pineapple. Plus, I had a need for some dairy products, cream and milk, and I got those, and got some fizzy water. I got a lot of things I needed, so I don't have to go out again. And it only cost me $166, which I couldn't believe, because I often spend, when I'm stocking up like I was today, I often spend $300, but I don't understand what I didn't buy today that made it so inexpensive today. I don't understand it, because it seemed very inexpensive. Anyway, I'd like to start today by listening to this video on YouTube. It's on the TED website. It's a TED talk. It's called Derek Paravicini and Adam Ockleford in the Key of Genius.
I promise there won't be too much of me talking and a lot of Derek playing, but I thought it was just be nice to recap on how Derek got to where he is today. It's amazing now, because he's so much bigger than me, but when Derek was born, he could have fitted on the palm of your hand. He was born 3.5 months premature, and really was a fantastic fight for him to survive. He had to have a lot of oxygen, and that affected your eyes, Derek, and also the way you understand language and the way you understand the world. But that was the end of the bad news, because when Derek came home from hospital, his family decided to employ the redoubtable nanny who was going to look after you, Derek, for the rest of your childhood. And nanny's great insight, really, was to think, here's a child who can't see, music must be the thing for Derek. And sure enough, she sang, or as Derek called it, warbled to him for his first few years of life. And I think it was that excitement with hearing her voice hour after hour every day that made him think maybe, you know, in his brain something was stirring, some sort of musical gift. Here's a little picture of Derek going up now when you were with your nanny. Now, nanny's great other insight was to think perhaps we should get Derek something to play. And sure enough, she dragged this little keyboard out of the loft, never thinking really that anything much would come of it. But Derek, your tiny hand must have gone out to that thing and actually bashed it so hard they thought it was going to break. But out of all the bashing, after a few months, emerged the most fantastic music. And I think there was just a miracle moment, really, Derek, when you realized that all the sounds you hear in the world out there is something that you can copy on the keyboard. That was the great eureka moment. Now, not being able to see meant, of course, that you taught yourself.
Taught myself to play.
You did teach yourself to play. And as a consequence, playing the piano for you, Derek, was a lot of knuckles and karate chops and even a bit of nose going on in there. And now, here's what Nanny did also do was to press the record button on one of those little early tape recorders that they had. And this is a wonderful tape now of Derek playing when you were 4 years old.
Molly Malone, Cockles and Muscles.
It wasn't actually Cockles and Muscles. This one is English Country Garden.
English Country Garden.
That was a bit. Oh, right there. think that's just fantastic. You know, there's this little child who can't see, can't really understand much about the world, has no one in the family who plays an instrument, and yet he taught himself to play that. And as you can see from the picture, there was quite a lot of body action going on while you were playing, Derek. Now, along Derek and I met when he was 4.5 years old, and at first, Derek, I thought you were mad, to be honest, because when you played the piano, you seemed to want to play every single note on the keyboard, and also you had this little habit of hitting me out of the way. So as soon as I tried to get near the piano, I was firmly shoved off. And having said to your dad, Nick, that I would try to teach you, I was then slightly confused as to how I might go about that if I wasn't allowed near the piano. But after a while, I thought, well, the only way is to just pick you up, shove Derek over the other side of the room, and in the 10 seconds that I got before Derek came back, I could just play something very quickly for him to learn. And in the end, Derek, I think you agreed that we could actually have some fun playing the piano together. As you can see, there's me in my early pre-marriage days with a brown beard, and little Derek concentrating there. I just realised this is going to be recorded, isn't it? Right, okay. Now then, by the age of 10, Derek really had taken the world by storm. This is a photo of you, Derek, playing at the Barbican with the Royal Philharmonic Pops. Basically, it was just an exciting journey, really. And in those days, Derek, you didn't speak very much, and so there was always a moment of tension as to whether you'd actually understood what it was we were going to play and whether you'd play the right piece in the right key and all that kind of thing. But the orchestra were wowed as well, and the press of the world were fascinated by your ability to play these fantastic pieces. Now, the question is, how do you do it, Derek? And hopefully we can show the audience now how it is you do what you do. I think that one of the first things that happened when you were very little, Derek, was that by the time you were 2, your musical ear had already outstripped that of most adults. And so whenever you heard any note at all, if I just play a random note, you knew instantly what it was, and you'd got the ability as well to find that note on the piano. Now, that's called perfect pitch, and some people have perfect pitch for a few white notes in the middle of the piano. You can see how you get a sense of playing a trick. Now then. But, Derek, your ear is so much more than that. If I just put the microphone down for a bit, I'm going to play a cluster of notes. Those of you who can see will know how many notes, but Derek, of course, can't. Not only can you say how many notes, it's being able to play them all at the same time. Here we are. Get the terminology, Derek. Fantastic. And it's that ability to hear simultaneous sounds, not only just single sounds, but when a whole orchestra is playing, Derek, you can hear every note and instantly, through all those hours and hours of practice, reproduce of those on the keyboard that makes you, I think, is the basis of all your ability. Now then, it's no use having that kind of raw ability without the technique. And luckily, Derek, you decided that once we did start learning, you'd let me help you learn all the scale fingerings. So, for example, using your thumb under in C major. Etc. Yeah. And in the end, you got so quick that things like Flight of the Bumblebee were no problem, were they?
No.
Right, so here, by the age of 11, Derek was playing things like this.
This?
Thank you. the truly amazing thing was, with all those scales, Derek, you can not only play Flight of the Bumblebee in the usual key, but any note I play, Derek can play it on. So if I just choose a note at random, like that one.
Can you play Flight of the Bumblebee on that note?
What about in G minor?
G minor.
Here we go. Fantastic. Well done, Derek. So you see, in your brain, Derek, is this amazing musical computer that can instantly recalibrate, recalculate all the pieces in the world that are out there. Most pianists would have a heart attack if you said, sorry, do you mind playing Flight of the Bumblebee in B minor instead of A minor? As we went on. In fact, the first time, Derek, you played that with an orchestra, you learnt the version that you learnt, and then the orchestra, in fact, did have a different version. So while we were waiting in the 2 hours before the rehearsal and the concert, Derek listened to the different version and learnt it quickly and then was able to play it with the orchestra. Fantastic chap. The other wonderful thing about you is memory. Your memory is truly amazing. And every concert we do, we ask the audience to participate, of course, by suggesting a piece Derek might like to play. And people say, well, that's terribly brave, because what happens if Derek doesn't know it? And I say, no, it's not brave at all, because if you ask for something that Derek doesn't know, you're invited to come and sing it first, and then he'll pick it up. So just be thoughtful before you suggest something too outlandish. But seriously, would anyone like to choose a piece?
A piece. Choose a tune? Would you like to have a tune?
Because it's quite dark, you'll just have to shout out.
Like to hear me play.
Paganini.
The theme of Paganini.
Derek's going to LA soon, and it's a milestone because it means that Derek and I will have spent over 100 hours on long-haul flights together, which is quite interesting, isn't it, Derek?
Very interesting, Adam.
Because
yes,
no matter, you may think 13 hours is a long time to keep talking, but Derek does it effortlessly. Now then, but in America, they've coined this term, the human iPod, for Derek, which I think is just missing the point, really, because Derek, you're so much more than an iPod. You're a fantastic, creative musician. And I think that was nowhere clearer to see, really, than when we went to Slovenia. And in a longer concert, we tend to get people joining in. And this person very, very nervously came onto the stage
and played chopsticks.
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 A bit like this.
Like
I should really get Derek's manager to come and play as he's sitting there.
Somebody played chopsticks like this.
Just teasing. Right, here we go.
Derek played.
What did you do with it, Derek?
I'd like to improvise with it, Adam.
This is Derek the musician. With Derek. Will kill me, but perhaps it's time for one encore.
Oh, one encore.
One encore, yes. One. So this is one of Derek's heroes, is the great Art Tatum.
Art Tatum.
Who also was a pianist who couldn't see, and also, I think, like Derek, thought that all the world was a piano. So whenever Art Tatum plays something, it sounds like there's three pianos in the room. And here is Derek's take on Art Tatum's take.
Tiger Rag.
Tiger Rag.
Tiger Rag. Thank you.
That was Derek Parravicini and Adam Ockelford in The Key of Genius. Adam Ockelford is Derek's teacher of many years, from Derek's very early years, from a very young age, as I think he said, the age of four. Anyway, that was something I've listened to first, possibly some years ago. I'm trying to think exactly. I don't know exactly when right now. I think it was possibly while Anne was still with us, though. I think so. It may have been more than 6 years ago that I first heard that. And that TED Talk is only one of a number of, quite a significant number of videos that have been made about Derek. And some of them are probably ones that we might visit later, because he's such a remarkable person. Today, I have an update. I have many updates because I took vitamin C for 4 days. And the fourth day, I could only take 6 grams of it, which is sort of the amount that I can take 6 grams and not get any bowel movement, you know, or what we call mandatory visit to the bathroom. I mean, I can, on most days, I can take 6 grams. If I have a slight cold developing and the cold will disappear, I won't have to go to the bathroom or anything, and I'll be cured. So 6 grams is not very much, is what I'm saying. But the first day when I had this 4 days ago, or 5 days ago now, I guess, the first day I took 24 grams, and then I had to stop because my body, I didn't want to eat it, and I was experiencing, you know, I wouldn't call it diarrhea because it's not really diarrhea, it's just bowel tolerance. The limit of what my bowel could tolerate. Because if the body's not using the vitamin C in curing the illness, then it goes into the bowel, and that's when you have bowel tolerance limit reached. So the second day I took 30 grams, and then I reached bowel tolerance. And also, you know, I didn't want to eat anymore. Like, it gets to the point where you just don't want to eat anymore. Now, I was, on some occasions, I was taking 2 grams every 20 minutes, and on other occasions, I was taking multiple amounts more than that, but I wrote it all down. I took 3 grams, and this was I took 9 grams in 5 minutes. 9 grams in 4 minutes. In three gram chunks, 3 gram increments during those 9 minutes. So, and then here, this is on the 15th of November. I took 9 grams all at once at 1303 hours. At 1403 hours, I took 3 grams. That was 12 up to that point. And then I took 3 grams at 1842 hours, 3 grams at 1845 hours, 3 grams at 1847 hours, and 3 grams at 2115 hours. The total of that is 3 3 3 3 3, 15 and 9 is 24 grams. That was the first day. Okay, second day I started saying, well, let's take 2 grams every 20 minutes, so I did that. I didn't quite do it in 20 minutes. Sometimes it took a little longer than 20 minutes just because I wasn't able to mix it up quick enough. And, you know, I set a timer for 20 minutes, but then it would take me some time to get back out and make it and drink it. But that was the 16th of November. So I took 36 grams. The total running total was 60 grams of vitamin C to reach bowel tolerance both days. Okay, I don't take it while I'm sleeping, obviously. Then the next day, the 17th, well, those 2 grams, that was 2,200 hours up until 50 minutes after midnight, roughly. That was on the 16th and 17th, starting at 2,200 hours. That's when I started the 2 grams. So I took, you know, but actually I took 2 grams every 20 minutes all the way up, yeah, for a period of 2 hours and 50 minutes. Quite a lot of vitamin C, 30 grams. And I didn't write everything down in the intervals after 2,304 hours. I didn't write those down, but I didn't miss any that I know of. So, and I know when I stopped, so I was able to calculate. It's roughly 36 grams. Maybe it's wrong by 2 grams or whatever. I don't know. But 24 and 36 is 60 grams so far on the running total. On the 17th of November, after I woke up again, and I had no trouble waking up or anything. In fact, one of those days I could barely sleep. Not sure which day that was now, whether it was the first day or the second day, but I couldn't. I didn't sleep at all one of those days. One hour, I mean, very, very little sleep, 1 or 2 hours, and then I woke up and I didn't want to sleep. But I wasn't, there was no adrenaline or anything really. Or, well, it may have been adrenaline, but I mean, there was no. I just felt really awake. I didn't feel like there was anything keeping me awake. I just felt like I was awake. I didn't need to sleep, that's all. Then on the 17th, I took 6 grams of ascorbate with white sugar this time. I'd been taking it with brown sugar, I believe, up till that point. Yeah, brown sugar and water. Then I started taking it with white sugar. 6 grams at 1508 hours and 6 grams at 1510 hours. 12 grams. And then I had bowel tolerance limit. I had to quit. But also I didn't feel like I wanted anymore, and that was a running total at that point of 72 grams total. On the 18th, starting at 12, 18 hours, all this time I had a slight sore throat that kept coming back. So I said, well, something is coming back, therefore I'm going to get sick if I don't take vitamin C. I just knew I would get sick if I didn't take it. And this proves it. The fact that the bowel tolerance limit was decreasing proved that I had been sick. If the bowel tolerance limit was always the same, that would prove that I nothing was changing. Also, it would prove that, you know, that. But this proves that I was sick the first 2 days. Even though I didn't feel sick, I had the sore throat. I knew I felt like I was coming down with something, but I didn't have any lack of energy. It was no other symptom, no stomach upset, nothing. Just this slight sore throat. But I knew, you know, the feeling when you're getting strep throat, or when, I think it was probably strep throat, actually, that I was getting. That's why it took so much vitamin C. It was something serious. It was an infection that was serious. So on the 18th, 12, 18, I took 2 grams of vitamin C, ascorbate with Himalayan salt. I switched to salt because sugar is not healthy. I realized, okay, I could take it with salt, Himalayan salt. So I took it with Himalayan salt instead of with sugar. And actually, that works really well. It cuts the bitterness. Fantastic way to take vitamin C in the form of ascorbate, because ascorbate's very bitter tasting, very, very, you know, acidic. Just Himalayan salt mixed, you know, a lot less Himalayan salt than the ascorbate. You don't need as much. Whereas with the ascorbate, with sugar, I needed almost as much sugar, or about the same amount of sugar as I had ascorbate. With salt, you don't need nearly that much salt compared to the ascorbate. That's what I'm saying right now. I can't remember exactly the amounts or anything, but nowhere near the amount, though. Like maybe 1/10 of a teaspoon. Or 1/20 of a teaspoon to a teaspoon of ascorbate. Something like that. It's nowhere near the amount of salt. But whatever it is, you know, you mix it to taste. And then 2 grams of, again, at 12:41 after the first one being 12:18. So 23 minutes later at 12:41, 2 grams. That's approximate time. Then an exact time, 13:07. The final 2 grams, a total running of 78 grams altogether over those 4 days from the 15th to the 18th. And that was 6 grams on the 18th. It was all it took to reach my bowel tolerance limit. So I knew I'd cured it at that point. That was cured. I knew that was gone. And sure enough, I didn't have the sore throat again. So I don't have it now, and this is the 19th. Isn't it? Yeah, it is. So I'm cured. And I never was sick during any of those days. I could still work. I didn't want to go out, though, because I thought I might get sicker if I went outside. you know, I didn't want to leave the house, so I was putting off shopping, but also we had snow. I didn't want to go out for a couple of reasons, snow being one of them. So that was my illness. I think it was strep throat, and I think it was possibly caused by the stew, which is a vegetable bean dish that I had made. And then I was heating it up at a very high heat, the maximum heat of the burner. And I was heating it up, for only a few minutes. And then when it was warm enough, I tried to get it hot, but I didn't boil it, you know. So I think that may have been the cause of it, because when you heat something up to a lukewarm temperature, if some of it is just lukewarm, even if some of it's hot, like the liquid might be hot, but the chunks of potato might be lukewarm, or whatever other chunks of things there are in there, the meat, the beef, whatever. If I was eating, I'm not sure at that point if it was chili or not, it may not have had beef at that point. It might have just been a bean dish. I think it was just a bean dish. But it had corn, you know, niblets and things. So maybe some of those. I think starch is a great food for bacteria. So, because I know rice can give you strep throat if you leave it in the pan and don't put it in the fridge. Or if you don't cook it again. If you don't reheat it at a high enough heat, it can give you strep. I've gotten strep from rice, I believe. And so I think maybe the corn is what did it. But whatever, because it's starchy. And bacteria would love that, I think. But anyway, so somebody suggested, and I thought of it myself, I should throw that out, right? Thinking that that's causing it. But the reality is I don't know for sure that that's what caused it. So I cooked the stew really, really well for several hours, boiling it, you know, at high heat, then at low heat for many more hours, just to make sure I've cooked all the bacteria out of it. And by now it's had chili added to it, so it's a chili now. It's not bean dish anymore. But I just added to it. I didn't throw any out. I'm just eating it as a new dish, leftovers mixed with my new added food that I'm putting in it to remake it. So anyway, there can't be any bacteria left in that. I just don't believe there is. However, if I'd thrown that out, that wouldn't solve anything, because I don't know that was causing it. That's what occurred to me today. That's not logical, because I don't know that was the cause. So throwing it out would be illogical. And it occurred to me that I'd started eating the old matcha tea, which is a bulk D quality. Bulk D, letter D, A, B, C, D. It's bulk D quality dough matcha, which is not the highest quality, but it's a decent quality, and it's from Japan. It's not organic, but it's a very high quality from Japan. And I'd been keeping it in my fridge for years after it was opened. It was in there for I don't know how long, but this is not opened too many years ago, but it had been in the fridge for months and months after I opened it. But I squeeze all the air out of the bag before I store it. You know, I don't keep it with air in it. So, but it occurred to me, maybe the matcha tea could be getting bacteria, possibly, or something else, maybe. Maybe they talk about mold with tea, too, but I don't know whether mold would do what happened to me. But anyway, there's a lot more to say that I won't try to recap everything that I've already talked about in my previous videos, either. This is something I haven't talked about yet. The matcha tea, I thought, maybe could be causing it. But when I Google it, there's nothing about tea ever getting bacteria. But because I don't know, I'm going to switch away. I'm going to switch away from that matcha and go back to my brand new ceremonial grade matcha. And I'll use that now. Okay? So I'm switching away. I'm not going to keep that for a while. I'm going to keep it in the fridge, and I'm going to try it again and see whether I get the sore throat again. If I do, though, but if I get the sore throat again, when I switch back to that matcha, I'll just take vitamin C, and it won't require much, and then I'll stop eating it, obviously. And I'll try to pasteurize it, right? I'll try to pasteurize it, and then I'll start again. So, I mean, that's my plan. That's my idea. That's the way I'm interpreting these events. And it could be something else besides either of those two things that's causing it. So, but it definitely is an infection, because it was cured by vitamin C. That much seems to be very definite. Every time, because the other proof of it is that every time I took vitamin C, the symptom went away. The sore throat went away. I could feel it was healing it. It was working. But the proof really also is the bowel tolerance limit was extremely high at first, which proves it was an infection. Nobody, if they're healthy, can take 24 grams of vitamin C. I know at least I don't believe I could now from what I saw there on the, at least not after, on the fourth day I couldn't do it because I already had all that vitamin C in me too. But that's all you have to, I reached the bowel tolerance limit, right? When my body was full of vitamin C to that point where I couldn't even take 6 grams without having bowel tolerance limit. That's how you know. So I thought bowel tolerance limit meant the first time you go to the bathroom. That's what it usually means for me. If I ever go, and I don't even have to go to the bathroom. Usually I just have to take the vitamin C, maybe 12 grams, and then I'm good. You know, if it's a flu, maybe 12 grams and it's gone. But I don't wait to get the symptoms. You know, I don't wait to get full symptoms. I immediately start, as soon as I feel like I'm coming down with something, immediately. Vitamin C is the only thing. No food, just vitamin C until it's gone. And then you can eat normally and whatever, you know, it's back to normal, right? Everything's back to normal. And you're healthy again. I mean, you're completely, it just wipes it right out normally. But this time it was very different. So it may have been a food poisoning that was, I suspect it was food poisoning and it was much more, yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking this now, actually, it just occurred to me. It had permeated. My whole system was completely poisoned. That's why it took longer and it took so much, 78 grams of vitamin C. But there's one woman that was what's the word for that? She was described by or talked about by Robert Cathcart III, who was a vitamin C doctor who specialized in using vitamin C for, well, I mean, it was only one of the things he treated was infections, I imagine. He didn't just treat infections. He was a general practitioner, so he treated many things. But when he treated infections, he used vitamin C because it's the most powerful thing you can use against infections is what he believed, and so do some other people. And he taught Andrew Saul, who's got the website DrYourself.com. And Andrew Saul had 2 children that were raised to adulthood without any antibiotics because he followed the same procedure that was taught to him by Dr. Cathcart, who taught him 2 grams every 20 minutes until bowel tolerance is reached. But when I thought of bowel tolerance, I thought, you know, bowel tolerance means, you know, the first time. But in this case, I had to reach bowel tolerance 4 times, and then it was gone. So I didn't understand that part of bowel tolerance, and maybe I'm one of the few who does. I don't know that, to be honest. But I don't know very much. I don't know very much, to be completely honest. But the thing is, I know it works. And I know that Dr. Cathcart talked about a woman who took, if I'm recalling this correctly, she took over 3 days, she took 1 pound. And she wasn't a big woman, small woman. 1 pound over 3 days of vitamin C, a sorbate, I guess. I'm not sure what form she took it in, but a sorbate is the usual form. It's the only, it's the definite, it's what, that's what vitamin C is, a sorbate. But you can have vitamin C with all kinds of other things added to it. It costs more, but you can just, you don't need that. You don't need the other things. You can take it with bioflavonoids and all sorts of great other. When I started, at some point during my illness, I was taking chewables. So when I wrote down that was not a sorbate. When I said 3 grams, that was chewables. That was chewables because it doesn't say a sorbate. I know that. So when I started taking a sorbate, that was day 2 on the 17th. The 16th was day 2. That's when I took a sorbate. The 15th, I mean, I've got it written down. The 16th, I started taking a sorbate. A sorbate, singular. It's a powder, a sorbate. Day 1, I took chewables, and I was taking 3 grams at a time, which is 6 500-milligram tablets of chewables. So those had the bioflavonoids and all the good stuff. It didn't help me. I still took 24 grams, and it didn't cure me. So the chewables, it's the same. It works exactly the same as the sorbate. It doesn't matter what you take, and that's what Andrew Saul will tell you also. It doesn't matter. It's cheaper to buy the sorbate, so you might as well just buy the sorbate, and it works the same. So that's another part of it. But this woman ate a pound of vitamin C by drinking it, I guess, in the form of a sorbate, probably because it's much cheaper that way. And it might, I don't know what it costs, but it's not very expensive. But she cured her mononucleosis by doing that, by eating a pound in 3 days. So she could eat a pound of vitamin C without reaching bowel tolerance, apparently. Now, but I'm supposing that she reached bowel tolerance now. Now I'm supposing possibly she reached bowel tolerance each of those 3 days, right? And that she had to stop and then start again each of those 3 days until she reached bowel tolerance. But before now, I didn't think of that. That never occurred to me. I had assumed she just... But you have to reach bowel tolerance before you go to bed, right? That's the logical thing. You have to stop doing it. You don't want to go all night and not have reached bowel tolerance because you could get sick during the night. So you have to reach bowel tolerance before you go to bed. And then it might keep you up all night, partly because you're running to the bathroom too. But, I mean, or you're afraid about... But after my body had completely... eliminated all of what was in my intestines and bowels, and the first day there's no way that I had anything more to come out, even though I felt like I had gurgling, you know, the gurgling that you think you're going to have a huge evacuation happen in your body. But even though I had gurgling that was loud and going on all the time, there was no more material to come out of me. So there was no danger of having an accident because I'd already evacuated my bowel anyway, but there was still a lot of gurgling. So there's a lot to learn about this. I've never taken that much vitamin C ever until this time, but I think it was food poisoning, and that's why it was such a serious thing that I had to take all that. I never had any symptom other than a slight sore throat that was getting worse, right? A little bit. Otherwise it wouldn't have become a sore throat to begin with. It wouldn't have manifested. It was getting worse gradually at the beginning. And it was an infection, or I wouldn't have been able to take all that vitamin C. I just wouldn't have been able to. I don't believe. So that's the story. Okay, so that's what happened on that. Now I want to report on other things. I don't know how much time we're going to have. I don't want to do the study right now because I want to give a report on the insoles. But I think we're going to have to do the study, and I'll have to come back to the insoles. Because I want to get the study done if possible. And we don't have to do, we're not up to the 21st when we're going to start another new Bible book. So Psalm 48, to the director of the sons of Korah, little children, a melody. Jehovah Father, we ask that you would have compassion for us and help us in the ways that we have a real need. And especially spiritually, that we would be given the proper motivation for everything we do, and that it be love, that we be loving, and that we especially have love among the friends. In Jesus' name, amen. So, hear this, all you peoples. Give ear, all you inhabitants of the system of things, you sons of humankind, as well as you sons of man, you rich one and you poor one together. My own mouth will speak things of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart will be of things of understanding. To a proverbial utterance I shall incline my ear on a harp. I shall open up my riddle. Why should I be afraid in the days of evil, when the very error of my supplanters surrounds me? Those who are trusting in their means of maintenance and who keep boasting about the abundance of their riches, not one of them can by any means redeem even a brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. And the redemption price of their soul is so precious that it has ceased to time indefinite. That he should still live forever and not see the pit. For he sees that even the wise ones die, together the stupid one and the unreasoning one perish, and they must leave to others their means of maintenance. Their inward wish is that their houses may be to time indefinite, their tabernacles to generation after generation. They have called their landed estates by their names, and yet earthling man, though in honor, cannot keep lodging. He is indeed comparable with the beasts that have been destroyed. This is the way of those who have stupidity, and of those coming after them who take pleasure in their very mouthings. Selah. Like sheep, they have been appointed to Sheol itself. Death itself will shepherd them, and the upright ones will have them in subjection in the morning, and their forms are due to wear away. Sheol, rather than a lofty abode, is for each one. However, God himself will redeem my soul from the hand of Sheol. For he will receive me, Selah. Do not be afraid because some man gains riches, because the glory of his house increases, for at his death he cannot take along anything at all. His glory will not go down along with him himself, for during his lifetime he kept blessing his own soul. And people will laud you because you do well for yourself. His soul finally comes only as far as the generation of his forefathers. Nevermore will they see the light. Earthling man, although in honor, who does not understand, is indeed comparable with the beasts that have been destroyed. Beautiful. All about riches and what it means to be rich, and how it means very little when it comes to be the time for someone to die, and how we're all dying, and how we can't give a ransom even for one of our brothers whom we love with all our soul. It's so powerful. And yet that's it also highlights the need for a ransom, and the fact that we needed the Messiah, and that, you know, that up until this point, we know Jesus had not come to the earth at this point, but that we know he did come when we read the Greek scriptures, the New Testament, as it's called. We know that Jesus did come, and we know when we're believers that he was the Messiah also. There's a lot in this, but we're not going to try and analyze it too much, partly because it's better to be able to refer back to it later when we have more understanding of the entire scriptures, but also partly, what was that, 48? Make sure we read the right psalm. I think it was 48. Yeah, I think we're reading the right one. No, sorry, it was 49. That's right, 49, yeah. Yeah, so we did 48, and now we've done 49. I believe that's right, but, you know, if I'm wrong, then I'm trusting Jehovah that he's allowing us to do it in the way that he thinks is the best. So I'm not too worried about it. Isaiah 29, woe to Ariel, the town where David encamped. Add year upon year, you people. Let the festivals run the round, and I have to make things tight for Ariel. And there must come to be mourning and lamentation. She must become to me as the altar hearth of God. And I must encamp on all sides against you, and I must lay siege to you with a palisade and raise up against you siege works. I'm feeling a little bit of sore throat, actually, to be honest, right now, but it's coming. That just means I'll take some more vitamin C, I think, is what it means. But, and you must become low so that you will speak from the very earth, and as from the dust, your saying will sound low. Also, if I just eat some more food, too, it'll help, I think. I don't think I'm getting sick right now. I doubt it, anyway. And like a spirit medium, your voice must become, even from the earth and from the dust, your own saying will chirp. And the crowd of those strange to you must become just like fine powder. And the crowd of the tyrants, just like the chaff that is passing away. And it must occur in an instant, suddenly. From Jehovah of armies, you will have attention with thunder and with quaking, and with a great sound, storm wind and tempest and the flame of a devouring fire. And it must occur just as in a dream. in a vision of the night regarding the crowd of all the nations that are waging war against Ariel, even all those waging war against her, and the siege towers against her, and those making things tight for her. Yes, it must occur just as when someone hungry dreams, and here he is eating, and he actually awakes and his soul is empty. And just as when someone thirsty dreams, and here he's drinking, and he actually awakes, and here he is tired, and his soul is dried out. Thus it will occur with the crowd of all the nations that are waging war against Mount Zion. Linger, you men, and be amazed. Blind yourselves and be blinded. They have become intoxicated, but not with wine. They have moved unsteadily, but not because of intoxicating liquor. For upon you men, Jehovah has poured a spirit of deep sleep, and he closes your eyes, the prophets. And he has covered even your heads, the visionaries. And for you men, the vision of everything becomes like the words of the book that has been sealed up, which they give to someone knowing the writing, saying, read this out loud, please. And he has to say, I am unable, for it is sealed up. And the book must be given to someone that does not know writing. Somebody saying, read this aloud, please. And he has to say, I do not know writing at all. And Jehovah says, for the reason that this people have come near with their mouth, and they have glorified me merely with their lips, and they have removed their heart itself far away from me, and their fear toward me becomes men's commandment that is being taught, therefore here I am, the one that will act wonderfully again with this people in a wonderful manner and with something wonderful, and the wisdom of their wise men must perish, and the very understanding of their discreet men will conceal itself. Woe to those who are going very deep in concealing counsel from Jehovah himself, and whose deeds have occurred in a dark place, while they say, who is seeing us and who is knowing of us? The perversity of you men. Should the potter himself be accounted just like the clay? For should the thing made say respecting its maker, he did not make me? And does the very thing formed actually say respecting its former, he showed no understanding? Is it not yet but a very little time, and Lebanon must be turned into an orchard, and the orchard itself will be accounted just as a forest? And in that day the deaf ones will certainly hear the words of the book, and out of the gloom and out of the darkness even the eyes of the blind ones will see. And the meek ones will certainly increase their rejoicing in Jehovah himself, and even the poor ones of mankind will be joyful in the Holy One of Israel himself, because the tyrant must reach his end, and the bragger must come to his finish, and all those keeping alert to do harm must be cut off. Those bringing a man into sin by his word, and those who lay bait even for the one reproving in the gate, and those who push aside the righteous one with empty arguments. Therefore, this is what Jehovah has said to the house of Jacob, he that redeemed Abraham. Jacob will not now be ashamed, nor will his own face now grow pale. For when he sees his children, the work of my hands, in the midst of him, they will sanctify my name, and they will certainly sanctify the Holy One of Jacob. And the God of Israel they will regard with awe. And those who are erring in their spirit will actually get to know understanding. And even those who are grumbling will learn instruction. Isaiah chapter 29. That's interesting about those who are grumbling learning instruction. That's as if Jehovah doesn't, you know, as if he doesn't cover all details that you could imagine. He even covers that. Because, you know, in case we've ever known someone who grumbles, and what it's like to be a grumbler, or what it's like to deal with people who grumble, you know, there's really no way to deal with or to help people sometimes. possibly even these people who are grumbling are a good example of people whom it's difficult to help. But here we don't have to help them, because even it says here that Jehovah's going to take care of it. Those who are grumbling will learn instruction. It's a prophecy. But I mean, the tyrant must reach his end, verse 20. The bragger must come to his finish. Or we might use the word braggart. Braggart or bragger. Braggart is the word we typically use in modern English. And here in the study Bible, it's boaster. The boaster will come to his finish. The same thing. Boaster and braggart are the same. Braggart, BRAGGART. Or boaster mean the same thing. But a boaster is not as derogatory a word, typically, as a braggart. A braggart is a very derogatory word. It seems to me, anyway, from my current knowledge of English, the boaster, someone who boasts, is just not quite as derogatory or as severe a way of describing somebody, but they both mean the same. Essentially, the tyrant will be no more, it says in that verse also. And those bringing a man into sin by his word, verse 21. I mean, it's very interesting. Those who lay bait even for the one reproving in the gate. That even rhymes. And those who push aside the righteous one with empty arguments. So many interesting details that Jehovah talks about in prophecy about what he's going to do and how he's going to judge certain individuals. And it's very instructive to us if we pay attention to these things and try to store these things in our hearts, in our inner storage place for wisdom, wherever that is inside us, that we can keep things for future use and for edification to help us to know Jehovah better and to feel closer to Jehovah. And there are a lot of nice things in this. But just the fact that we read it, if you would read it with me out loud or read it out loud on your own, that would be beneficial, because it will help you to get it deeper into your inner inner self, you know, into your memory, into the part of you that will be going forward with you, and it'll be part of your memory. You'll remember it better. That's what I meant to say. I couldn't quite say that for some reason. It will improve your memory if you read out loud, I think is what I was trying to say there. Woe to Ariel, the town where David encamped. Why? 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 Was it because it sounds like there were tyrants there, because in verse 5 or maybe not though, but the crowd of those strange to you. It sounds like Ariel's going to become low, but the crowd of those strange to Ariel must become like fine powder, and the crowd of the tyrants, just like the chaff is passing away. You will have attention from Jehovah, in verse 6, with thunder and with quaking and with a great sound, storm, wind, and tempest. Well, look at, and it must occur just as in a dream, in a vision of the night, regarding the crowd of all the nations that are waging war against Ariel. So it's going to be just like these people who think that they're dreaming, but they think they're actually eating food. They're hungry and they're eating this great meal, and then they wake up and there's no food and they're hungry. That's what it's going to be like for those who are waging war against Ariel. They're not going to be able to continue their war because they're going to be judged. And also, It said, well, here it says, thus it will occur with the crowd of all the nations that are waging war against Mount Zion. But also, you see, it must occur just as in a dream regarding the crowd of all the nations that are waging war against Ariel in verse 7. So what's Ariel is the question, right? We want to find out more about Ariel. Let's look at this. Download the latest research guide to see the helpful references. I don't have the latest research guide. It's downloading it right now. I don't have the latest research guide for some reason. Okay, I thought I did. By the way, yeah, I want to mention before I talk about the insoles, Jason Marburger has a new video on his, it's not a website, sorry, it's a YouTube, the YouTube channel, on his YouTube channel. I think he has a website, but I'm not referring to that right now. I'm referring to the YouTube channel. It's called Fireball Tool, that YouTube channel of Jason Marburger's. His name is not there. It's not prominently displayed. So you search Fireball Tool, two words. But Jason Marburger is the man who's running that channel, and he's got a new video, and it's a very, very nice video. I'm not sure what the best description of it is. It's very informative. It's very, I'd say it's inspiring. That's I think the correct word. It's inspiring because it makes me, I mean, there's a lot of ideas in it. He's got a lot of ideas in that video about what his favorite products are. And it gives me a lot of ideas about, I can investigate some of the products he mentions. Let me click on this now. Possibly meaning the altar hearth of God or the Lion of God, referring to Jerusalem. So Ariel refers to Jerusalem. Possibly. So it could be referring, and that would be consistent with verse 8 here, where it talks about waging war against Zion, just like it was talking about those waging war against Ariel in verse 7. So Ariel and Zion might be the same thing, basically, is what that might imply. So it's good to know that. So we're done our Bible study today. But yeah, Jason Marburger has a new video on his YouTube channel, and I really, really, even though I don't use, I already have products that I'm already using or that I've already purchased that are not the same as the ones that he's recommending. Yeah, I still think it's very interesting to me because, for example, I think I bought 50 pairs of gloves or four dozen or two dozen pairs of gloves already, and they don't fit me very well, but I know they're good gloves. I know they're good. It's just that when I use gloves, I'm going to use them. I don't care about dexterity. I mean, I'm going to take the gloves off if I need dexterity. That's the way I'm doing it. So, I mean, I have a completely different approach, and it's based, I mean, from anyone. I mean, just like everybody, I mean, everybody has a different approach, but it's still extremely interesting to see how someone else does something. I find it very useful and beneficial to know how someone else does it. You know, and it would have to be a strong reason why I would change the way I do things. But if I ever have a reason to change the way I do things, then I'd be very interested in seeing what I'm not necessarily, that in itself would not sway me in favor of one product over another. I'd still have to go through my regular, I go through a normal procedure that I normally go through in assessing things, or I'd have to be recommended. So, I mean, you know what I'm trying to say? The stars would have to align. The planets and stars have to align, if you know what I mean. Everything has to indicate that this is the product I need to try. You know, it's that kind of thing. I can't just try a product because somebody recommends it, generally. I can't do that, partly because I don't believe that we should all be robots, for one thing. I don't think we should all be using the same products. That's one reason, but and that in itself is a powerful reason why I shouldn't take unsolicited recommendations. You know, I just don't I don't take unsolicited advice, but it's not because of, that's not the reason why. It's not because I believe we don't want to be robots, so I won't take unsolicited advice. It's because it was unsolicited. That's why I don't take unsolicited advice. But having said that, I'm going to investigate some of these products because, but in the past, whenever I've taken advice, it doesn't matter who it's from. Any unsolicited advice that I've taken in the past has always worked out, or not worked out, I should say. It's always worked out in a way that was unsuccessful, a waste of time, and it's because we're different people, I believe, is the real reason why, but it doesn't really matter what the reason why was. It may even be just because it was unsolicited advice. I don't know the reason, but it never works out, taking unsolicited advice. You need to solicit the advice in order for it to be better. And even then you don't take it. I mean, you know what I mean? Even if you solicit someone's advice, you're still not going to take the advice, not just the way it is. You're going to have to figure out what it means, you know, and then apply that advice to what you already know and then come up with your answer. So it's a very shaky ground, I think I would say, you know, to take advice from somebody else. I mean, you might like a certain product and then the reasons why you like it might be the same reasons why the other person doesn't like it. And so, I mean, you know, it's just one of those things. But let's come to, I want to talk about insoles because I think everybody needs footwear, or some of us do anyway, if we live in a world that normally, you know, uses footwear and that requires footwear in some applications. So I've discovered some new things. I found out that, I think I talked about this already, that the North Face shoes are kind of have a new life, a new lease on life, which was gained by putting the Polysorb Athletic Spenco Polysorb Athletic insoles in there. I had to cut them shorter. And this is about the amount that I had to cut off in the case of the Superfeet Green. I cut that much off the Superfeet Green, which were size 7.5 to 10, I think is what they were recommended as. Is that correct? I think it was 7.5 to 10. The size, now I have to check it. Now that I've said that, okay, that's a minute. I can find that, I think. Where is it? Superfeet Carbon, Superfeet CL6. This is it. And I've modified my Danner boots now. But there it is. Yeah, it's men's 7.5 to 9. Okay, 7.5 to 9. Yeah, right. I knew there was something wrong about my my estimate there. So 7.5 to 9. Okay. So size 7.5 to 9 was what they were, and I cut that much off them to fit in a size 8. That is about, you know, maybe a little around a quarter inch, something like that, or you know, very. Which is a quarter of an inch, is about 6 millimeters. It's about 6 millimeters. So these are the Superfeet that after I cut them off, they look like that. So I tried to keep it looking like a shoe. But now these, if I put them in my Danner boots, they will slip about that far. Where before, they were slipping about that far. Now they slip that, you know, a little bit more. They slip a bit more. But I was hoping that the sides would stop them from slipping, but it was the toe that was stopping them. So they do slip more now, so I'm not going to, but I don't need them anymore. That's why I cut them, because I wanted to try them in my other shoes. The reason I don't need these in my Danners is because I found out that it's a better fit when I put the hike on top of the run. So that it's the Superfeet Adapt Run Max in the bottom, and the Superfeet Adapt Hike Max in the top of the boot. So they've got two different insoles in the boot, and it's the Adapt Hike Max on top of the Adapt Run Max. They're both Superfeet insoles, but the Superfeet Green now is available for some other use, and I've tried it, but haven't found a use for it yet. The reason I don't think that they work very well, and also I had to re-glue one of them. because here where the plastic meets the insole, foam, they had separated on one. This is the good one. The other one, I fixed it. I'm trying to fix it. I could see at the point where it separated, I could look in. I was able to look in on this back side of it. I was able to look in under here, and I could see where the glue had been. And it's a glue that they use very similar. It looked very similar to the goop that I use, a very flexible type of glue. So I just put some goop on top of it and just stuck it down and clamped it now. It'll take about a day to be fully strong, you know, fully cured. But I'm cured. But it'll take an hour to kind of be, you know, set. But I'll probably leave it clamped overnight and just hopefully that's still a very usable insole. There's no reason why there's anything. It would work even if it weren't glued, I think. It's not going to come apart, but better to have it glued. And I think I cut myself. I put my Band-Aid on, but I don't have any big Band-Aids, so I put my amazing product that I discovered called Hypofix. One of the best products I ever found for dressing wounds. Hypofix. Very stretchy, breathable, strong, sticky. And you use it, you can hold gauze onto your wound, or you can use it to hold a Band-Aid, you know, add an extra layer on top of the Band-Aid, which I've done here. But I cut my finger in taking these insoles in and out. I mean, I at one point, you have to be careful. I think that's a warning that you might want to be careful when you're dealing with insoles that have hard sharp edges on plastic, with hard plastic. I don't know how I cut it, but I got this slice of some kind. A very shallow cut, but it's deep enough, you know, it hurt enough to put a Band-Aid. So, because I'm also still working on these shoes, so I don't want to aggravate that cut. So these, I tried the Spenco full support, or max support, they're called Spenco max support. They don't work in these, not nearly as well as these Spenco Polysorb Athletic. That's the best one. The other one I tried, I think I even tried, no, I didn't try the cushion, because I'm using the Spenco cushion in my Merrells on the bottom. But I think I redid the Merrells, did I? What have I got in the Merrells now? But right now, okay, the other thing I did, though, besides, I mean, the Merrells was earlier, but recently, the last thing I did was those North Face runners. The North Face runners have Spenco Athletic, Spenco Polysorb Athletic with the red top. Those work really well in these size 8 North Face. And this size 8 Baffin boot, I've got these Superfeet Black, because these boots were a very tight fit compared to most boots in the winter. And I mean, compared to most of my shoes, these were tight. So anything bigger than this thin Superfeet Black, which has a significant size heel cup, though, but it's got a deep heel cup, but it's got a square bottom on the heel cup, square sides on it. On the heel cup, you see it's sort of squared off. Well, I'm probably not even showing the camera. I'm sorry. It's squared off on the bottom, as the Superfeet Green are too. Superfeet Green are square on the bottom too, but it's thin. Is what I was trying to show. Hope I was showing that. I wasn't showing it. Was I showing it? I guess I was showing it. Yeah, they're thin. I hope you saw that. But it's very thin, and that's what it is. It's just very thin. Now Superfeet Carbon has a very low arch, whereas this has a very nice arch in it too. See that arch? Look at that. I mean, that's significant. Look at that arch. It's big. It's got a great arch. And that really helps these winter boots, because they had no arch in them. They're like, let me just test to see. Yeah, they have an arch. Yeah, they have a nice, they actually have a good arch, but not anything like this. Not anything like the Superfeet Black. It just enhances the existing arch in a beautiful way. It's almost, maybe it's not the right one, but it's the closest thing I have to be in the right insole for this particular boot. I needed it to be thin, and I didn't know when I bought all these that I'd be using them in. I didn't realize in advance which boots would be best for which insoles. I never thought of any of that. I just bought a bunch of different insoles. I thought the Superfeet Black were being bought for the North Face, but they don't work. So I must have tried them. Did I? Maybe I didn't try them in there. But I'm not going to now because I found the right insoles for those boots. I might try them later, though. Right. There's time to swap and try things later, too. But these Spenco Athletic, they're nice. They have a metatarsal pad, too, but I don't notice that so much. But it's actually, I'm not so concerned about the metatarsal pad now as I was. But got four more minutes here. But this is amazing because, yeah, I mean, Jason has some very, very advanced ideas on a lot of things. It's just that because we're different, I don't know that we're going to come up with the same answers or anything. But I love watching all kinds of things, including documentaries on how they built bridges in England and stuff like, you know, where they have different weather than we have here, than when they built things in England. Because I watched that, I learned that you should keep your humidity below 50% because iron will rust. If anything above 50%, the rust is greatly accelerated. So I learned that from watching a documentary about bridge building in England, right? Which you wouldn't learn that from a dry desert place that was building bridges because they don't have any water there. So, I mean, it's so interesting what you can learn. And now I know to keep my basement humidity down and my pressure tank is not rusting anymore. So, I mean, you'll pick up little things from somebody that you wouldn't guess that it would be that thing you'd pick up. You pick up certain ideas from people. This is the goop, by the way, that I'm using. It's the marine goop. You can't see them. Maybe you can. Let's try and get the marine. Yeah, there it says marine. I've shown this before. Marine goop. That's what I use for a lot of, like, to repair my recycle bin. I use that, but I also use it to repair anything like my insole. That's what I use to repair that super feet green insole. But it's good when you need flexible glue. Now, there may be even better things. I know the shoe goo. I've never owned shoe goo. I never tried it. I stick with what I know, like, and I keep using it. Like, I mean, I use it in new ways all the time, but I keep using the same product. Like, I've learned about the goop, and I keep using it. It doesn't have to be marine goop if you're using it indoors inside a shoe or outdoors inside a shoe. But I need marine goop whenever it's got exposure to ultraviolet. Therefore, I might as well use marine goop all the time because I'll just have to buy one type of goop. And that's why I do that. But goop, I know, is so powerful. I used it to fix a cupboard hinge in my bathroom. That cupboard is still working. And then the other hinge broke and I fixed that one. And I've never seen this goop fail when it was used to fix cupboard hinges. Because, you know, those interlocking cupboard hinge where they have the, like, little teeth that interlock? If you put the wrong pressure on those hinges, if you tighten the wrong screw at the wrong time, you just break the, you snap them. Like, and that's what happened, I guess. I'm not even sure why they broke, but I think that's what happened. So, but you can use flexible glue, and because there's a lot of surface area with these jaggies, the jagged interlocking jagged teeth that in these hinges, even though the hinge broke, or something broke, I forget what, with the screw that was attaching it, some part of it broke in such a way that it was unusable unless I glued it, and yet it's glued for like 20 years or something. I don't know how long. It's like, and it works fine. So I try not to use that cupboard all the time because maybe, you know, I'm not opening it all the time because I'm aware it could break, but I doubt it will break because that glue is flexible and it's not exposed to ultraviolet anyway, even if it wasn't the right type of goop. I don't know. But I mean, any material will be destroyed by ultraviolet light. It's just a matter of time and it will be destroyed. I'm not saying that this is going to be I don't think this is going to be impervious to ultraviolet. It's just that it's better for ultraviolet than some other type. But the glue itself, especially if it's not exposed to ultraviolet, it's going to last. That goop is going to last, I think, a long time. And it's because it's partly because it's flexible. In an application where you want it to be flexible, it's good. And I just don't have any metal epoxy. I don't use epoxy with metal. I've never done that. So I use epoxy with wood. I use goop. I'll use goop if the surface area is big enough. And you can peel it right off. Like, it's the best glue for peeling off of a smooth surface like metal. You can peel it right off later. So, but it's not going to come off. Like, it's, is so sticky. I mean, it's so strong and because it's flexible. But when you want a rigid joint, then epoxy, I use epoxy. Or a wood glue if I'm using, you know. But epoxy for wood and also wood glue for wood. Or even Lepage's white glue is phenomenal for wood as long as you don't need it to be waterproof. So epoxy's waterproof. That's the other thing. But, I mean, I use epoxy and goop mainly as my two main glues for anything I need to be strong. But I'll use, when I'm doing wood glue, I won't use epoxy unless it has to be really super strong because I don't, well, I think even wood glue, or I mean, unless it has to be waterproof because wood glue is stronger than the wood. So you don't need anything stronger than wood glue. But if it needs to be waterproof, then it's epoxy, right? So if you don't want it to come apart ever under any condition, then epoxy, right? It's just logical. But I mean, those are the products I use for glue. But I mean, occasionally is the word, I will discover something new. And then I will, you know, it would probably have to meet a need that I didn't have before, but now I have a new need, and then that product will meet that need, and then I'll, you know, if it works really well, I'll keep doing it. That's basically how that works. But yeah, I need air conditioning, so I'm looking into these air conditioning ideas. Like the idea of having water flow through, that's a great idea. Because I have this pump that's already down there that's not being used with my water furnace anymore, and it pumps really efficiently. It's a great pump system, a sub pump. It's a sub, what's it called? Sub something. And it's a great controller, like a super great controller, I think, that controls my water furnace, which is no longer working. So if I can figure out how to use the sub controller with some other type of air conditioning, then I could cool my house, right? So, I mean, that's a super idea. And so I'm investigating the idea. I'll need to figure out how to get a water furnace idea, you know, incorporated into my central service. Or I could use portable units and do, even if I just cooled the basement, that would cool the upstairs too, somewhat, a lot, probably. Or I could also, I've got a fan I can pump air from downstairs up too. There's all kinds of ideas that I want to work on. And I realized today, you know, I've been inventing things, designing things, I mean, since I was knee-high to a grasshopper. And I never knew that. I never realized that until today was the first day I thought of it in those terms, that I've been doing that, you know, and I've been relatively narrow in my scope. Like, I haven't developed skill in all areas ever. I've never really been all that wide in my scope of expertise, you know. But I want. I'm getting more interested in widening that out, you know. I'm getting more confidence that I can do that too. That it's possible. It takes a lot of time sometimes to develop expertise in certain areas in which you didn't have expertise in the past. And patience will help with that, you know, because Jehovah does reveal things to us. Like I'm totally convinced. I know it because it's happened. You know, it's happened in some of the ways that I've least expected. And having said that, I'm very excited to be cured of my food poisoning or whatever it was. Without a sore throat now, so I don't have to take all the vitamin C all the time, you know. Right now my throat's not sore, so it was starting to get sore when I was reading. I don't know what was going on, but no, I'm good. So our time is basically up for today. But I mean, you can see how I want to summarize about these inserts. Let me get the marrows. That's the last thing I want to check. Yeah. What did I do? But, oh my goodness. Wait, I want to talk about the Danners. Yeah, I have to repeat that the Danners right now are incredible with these two Superfeet insoles in them right now, the two that I've got in there now. They both look similar, and they both got a round heel cup. On the bottom, it's round. So that's what fits the Danner boots better, too. So it means that I sink deeper into the boot. It makes them fit a little bit less tight. And they are just spongy. Like, it's this air cushion again, because I've got a double insole with the Superfeet Run Adapt Run Max and then Superfeet Adapt Hike Max on top. But even if I had two layers, probably, I think if I had two layers of the Superfeet Run Max, it might be good, it might be better, it might be worse. I don't know. I don't know, because I think it matters. Everything matters with insoles. Everything. That's what I wanted to say. With insoles, everything is critical. Everything is critical. And with shoes, but with insoles that you're putting into shoes, you think it might not matter. You think, well, any insole that I put in there is going to basically do the same, or, you know, or it's going to be useless, and they're all going to be useless, or they're all going to be just as good, or whatever. You don't think there's going to be that much of a difference, but is there ever a difference? Right now, I got the Merrells on top of the. This is the Merrell original that was there, and then that's on top of the. The Polysorb All Day Long, Spenco Polysorb All Day Long, which is the green one, and it's yellow on the back. But the Spenco logo is that little flowery thing there, whatever that is. That little thing. Anyway, and when you're putting the insoles in, it's critical whether you tip them. You need to tip them with the toe side up. And that might be how that's possibly, you might want to do that, because that's possibly how I cut my finger, was trying to jam them in there in the wrong way, or maybe, I don't know how I cut my finger, but it was doing something wrong, obviously, because I cut my finger doing it. And this is a very tight insole. This is, has it been cut? It had to be cut to be gotten in there, too, I think. Let me get it out and see the edge of that. If that's been cut or not. Let's see. Let me look at it. No, that's not been cut. So it's very tight, actually, as a consequence of not being cut. The toe, the very end of it, is jammed up and slightly turned up. Very slightly at the end of the boot when I get it in here. But you got to put it with the toe side up and then put it in the boot. Toe side up and then stick it in the boot. That's the way you put them in. And then when it goes in really, really nicely, when it fits really snug, it's really, really nice. Like, it really makes a big difference, too, to how you feel about the boot and how it fits. And everything is going to be better if it's in there smooth, but it fits really snug. So it can't slide around. That's better. Now, these are the original Merrell insoles that were in the boot. They're going in on top of these Spenco Polysorb All Day insoles. So the Merrells aren't going to fit quite as well because they're not right in the bottom where they're supposed to be. But I'm not going to try. I'm not going to try and put the Athletic on top of them. Maybe I will later, but I'm not doing it now because they fit really well like this. It prevents heel slip better than any other combination I've tried. I want the original Merrells on top because. These boots were designed to have those on top, or on the bottom, actually, but they were designed to have those under your foot. So I'm trying to keep it the way the manufacturer wanted, I guess. I'm not getting completely crazy. Let's put it that way. I mean, there's no time to get completely crazy because there's enough combinations that make sense. That, you know, to try and try all the crazy combinations. It's not just time. It's the fact that if you violate logic, there's no way back. You know, you have to stay with what you believe is logical. That's the way you keep on that path. You can't stay on the logical path unless you stay logical. If you deviate from logic, you know, there's no way back. It's like, because there's an infinite number of interesting things that aren't logical, and you'll just be forever wandering, and you'll never find your way back. So, I mean, if you want to have any direction and focus and productivity, it depends on this idea, I believe, this logical idea, which is really something that is the same idea that upon which the Bible was based and everything, but it's the same idea. So this is Ward Green. It is November 19th, 2022. And, you know, I really, really like that Fireball Tool video. I just think it's amazing. All the different things that I will be comparing that, those products with now to try and figure out what I can learn. There's no one else out there who's doing that in such a helpful way that I feel like, you know, I feel loved because of that. I mean, that's the thing about it, is just the idea of having information. And wasn't that video of Derek Parravicini incredible? I mean, it was just, I'm just amazed. But I've known about that for years, of course, but I didn't have an opportunity to share it until now. Oh, it's just so interesting. I mean, it's so edifying. It's all of what I'm learning, and all the sources that are all the great things out there, you know. One of which is this new video by Jason Marburger. But all these things out there are just, it makes it so I can't wait to wake up again tomorrow morning, hopefully, and then start my day. So, Saturday, November 19th, 2022, 2011 hours, Ward Green saying bye for now. Love to all the brethren and everybody. Thank you, Jehovah. Be good. Thanks for watching. Welcome to the Bible study, and bye for now.